Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, we're continuing a discussion on the power and the trap of trust. Who do you trust in estate planning? Who do you trust in fiduciary roles? The executor, maybe somebody who's helping with health issues at the end of your life. And this is a very important person or persons. And we began this discussion last week looking at, well, first of all, the characteristics of an honest person.
Right.
So you want to review a little bit of that and move on here with some other issues.
Yeah, we looked at what does it mean to be an honest person. We took a biblical viewpoint, so that can be found at legacyandfaith.com on our past podcasts. And really, what are we talking about? The fiduciary individuals that we need to put into our plan. This can be who closes our estate. So that would be known as a personal representative in a will or a successor trustee in a trust. It could be the agent of a financial power of attorney who deals with the money in a trust or in a financial power of attorney. Our representative, our healthcare representative, if we need healthcare decisions made, end-of-life decisions made, mental health decisions made, all of these are fiduciary responsibilities, and we need to make sure that we have the right person for the right role, and how do we determine that? So we looked at what does it mean to select an honest person. We talked about some characteristics. Do they tell the truth? Do they see the world properly and see the world aligned with your values? And we use the definition that truth is demonstrating proper perspective with accuracy. So you can't have someone who exaggerates, can't have somebody who is a gossiper, can't have someone who is overly positive. We need to have someone who sees...
Overly positive.
Yeah, overly positive.
That would be a bad characteristic.
Well, it can be when that becomes the viewpoint instead of a balanced viewpoint. Oh, so yes, we want to work with people who are positive, who are pushing us forward with positive things. But I gave a story of how my positive perspective really set up my wife for wrong expectations when I was coming home from work. Mm. And so... So yes, my perspective, if it is always rosy glasses, some people would say, well, that's not a balanced, proper perspective. So therefore, I can't get to accuracy if I see everything just through rosy glasses. Mm. And that could be the opposite, which is I only see things through dark glasses. That would not be accurate either, correct? That would not be a balanced perspective. Mm. So looking at the characteristics of an individual is really important. And I ended last week's show by saying, do we stop and really think about this? And I'm not so sure that we do. Sometimes we just pick people as default.
We just assume maybe a family member is going to have these qualities.
Correct. Yeah. Or we're going to offend a family member if we don't put them in. Or I trust my kids. I'm glad you trust your kids. Are they still the right person? Do they still demonstrate the right character? Because this is going to have an influence on them, number one, and it's going to have an influence on their siblings if you have multiple kids, on other beneficiaries, because they're the ones who their baseline of values, their baseline of character is going to take over. And here is where we find out what true character is. Have you watched this person go through trouble? Have you watched this person come out the other end maintaining their character, maintaining uprightness, maintaining integrity through difficult times? That is really the test, not when things are great. People are nice when things are great. How are people responding when life is bad? And life has a way of throwing a left and a right hook sometimes. And so did they walk out in integrity from those circumstances? If the answer is yes, you may have a proper person to fill either a financial role or a healthcare role. So we're looking at what different roles. And we talked about that one way that people determine if it's the right person is through a spiritual lens. So what's the foundation of their spiritual life? What's the foundation of your personal spiritual life? Because that often dictates our morals. And when we start to see our world through that perspective, then we start judging other people by that perspective. So what's another way? Well, not everyone utilizes spiritual principles to determine if an individual is the right person to fit a fiduciary role. Some people have judged individuals through business environments. How do they respond at work? Do they have certain skill sets that they've learned because they're a CPA or they're an attorney or they're good with money because they're a financial advisor or they work in the banking system? And so a lot of times our skill set or our business life has determined whether or not that person is a right individual to slip in and actually help us in that fiduciary responsibility. And that is not a wrong or unbalanced perspective. It is just a perspective. And maybe it's one of the perspectives you need to run through when determining if the person has the right skill set to actually do this thing called fiduciary responsibility. If you're dealing with money, is it probably a good thing that they have their own financial life well maintained? It could be a good thing. Do they know how to trace and track finances? Do they know something about investing or the marketplace? Or are they completely ignorant? Now, there are professionals that we can get around people. So I'm not saying that having knowledge about investing is a good or bad thing. All I'm saying is that if they have that natural inclination, you may be more inclined to trust them or put them into the role of assisting you with your finances. However, you may have a very solid, honest, upright person that you go, but I really like their character more. Well, that's not a problem. We can get right professionals around mm-hmm. someone who doesn't have the skill set.
Right.
So just because someone doesn't know how to understand the market doesn't make them a bad person. It just means they may need assistance next to them. So there may be that you have a good relationship with a financial advisor who's been helping you through your own finances. Well, there's ways in estate planning to make sure that that financial advisor is a part of the plan. Now, they don't get a say in the estate plan, but where we put them is my fiduciary, person that I'm trusting to make the final decisions. Get the advice and wisdom of this person because I've trusted them. As a matter of fact, that could be a really, really strong part of your estate plan, which is if you have entrusted someone with your finances, they know why you made the decisions to invest in a certain way. They know where you've come from if the relationship has been longstanding, and they know where you are trying to take your finances. All of that could be extremely critical when someone else has to come in and start managing your money because most of the time, you're not sharing all of those financial insights, the past, the present, and the future, with the person who is in your estate plan. Well, is there a potential disconnect when someone has to step into that role, and are they up to speed? The answer would be no, because we haven't communicated with them. We haven't shown them the financial plan. We haven't shown them or communicated why we've made these decisions concerning our finances and the values, underlying values of how we are using our money for our current, present, and future. But we do oftentimes share that perspective with a very trusted advisor, specifically someone who has been with us for a long period of time. One of the greater dangers, actually, in estate planning is if you have a health incident, then a well-meaning fiduciary, let's say it's your child, okay, because that is one of the more common, an adult child. So let's say that your children are my age. If you're in your 70s, 80s, older, then you have adult children that you may want to lean into. Well, one of the bigger dangers is that a well-meaning child can step into that role, and based upon that child's perspective of money, that child's value of money, that child's perspective of how they use their money, which may not be appropriate for how to use yours, they may step in and take your finances and move it to a different financial advisor that they use because they trust them. Well, you're losing all of that wisdom. You're losing all of that relationship. You're losing all of the history of why you made the financial decisions that you've made. So if you have a very trusted professional, you may want them in your plan, not as a fiduciary. As a matter of fact, almost every financial advisor that I know is not allowed to be a fiduciary over their clients' money. They already have a fiduciary position. Many of them do, not all, but many of them have a fiduciary position already. So they're not allowed to, by their own rules, to take on being an agent for you or being a power of attorney for you or being a successor trustee for you. So it's not putting them in the role of the fiduciary. It is teaming the fiduciary with the professional that you trust so that the fiduciary, the power of attorney, the successor trustee has a resource available to them to understand how you've been managing your money over all these years. So a good estate plan will be asking these questions and when it is appropriate, ensuring that the professionals in your life remain in your life at the most pivotal times, such as you're unable to make financial decisions for yourself, oftentimes not the best time to take your money and start entrusting someone else. They don't have the history. So we need to be careful when we judge somebody based upon just their business prowess or just whether or not they have good financial instincts. Those instincts may actually not be the perfect alignment because they may start pushing against the one that you've trusted with your finances all these years.
Another character issue that is a real red flag, I would think, is somebody who is a substance abuser of some kind.
Sure.
You know, an addict of some kind, an alcoholic.
Yeah, even high-functioning alcoholics, right, that they need the drink. They need to have that because that's going to skew their perspective again. Mm-hmm. And if we go back to the definition, we have to have proper perspective with accuracy. So you can't get accurate truth. You can't get accuracy in your role if you don't have proper perspective. So making sure that someone has good skill sets is an important quality, but it's not really the end-all be-all in my thinking because I can get good professionals that have been in your life around that fiduciary to really help them and propel them to make the right decisions. So from my perspective, it comes back again to this character issue of are they the trustworthy person, because we can get skills around someone. So oftentimes we look at the skill set. Do they work hard? Do they steal from work? Are they intelligent? Are they respected by their peers? We use these things as a barometer and decision maker to say that is the right person because they're well respected in what they do or they have the right skills. Great. That is an important factor. If no one had ever dealt with money in their life before. So, you know, in marriages, people can get into roles in their life, and it's not that the husband does the finances or the wife does the finances, but if they have been in a marriage and they're not dealing with any of the family finances at all, and then you put them into a financial position, guess who's really making those financial decisions. It's the person who makes the decisions behind the scenes who's influencing that person, not the person themselves. So you need to also look at other relationships that may be driving that person that you're going to elect. And so finding this right person, I think, comes back more to character, but it does. There is a skill set that needs to be looked at as well.
Okay, talking about the power and trap of trust, the people you put in place in fiduciary roles in your estate, very important to at least consider some of these things. Obviously, we don't want to describe a person that doesn't exist who's so perfect. We're not talking about that. We just want to talk about people
right.
that have at least tendencies towards some of these better qualities, because it's a very important role and very you're really leaning on somebody in a big way.
That's right.
In these trust positions. Paul, people are intrigued by your approach to the trust and estate planning issues. How do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's ways to communicate with us, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, talking about the right people to have in your fiduciary roles in your trust with Paul this week. And Paul, a little bit more on the character issues we're looking for, and then we'll get into maybe some more technical issues of the kind of person.
Yeah, you know, and so we talked about we may want to make our determination based upon spiritual factors, based upon how an individual is aligned in skill set, or maybe they've demonstrated that through their background in business. Others would still determine, this person has been good to me. So how have they treated you? Have they treated you with compassion? Have they treated you with respect and honor? Have they treated you in a manner that you want to be treated? And so therefore, trust has been developed because they have demonstrated to you. And in that, likewise, then, have they treated other people the same way? So in other words, is it their character again? We keep going back to character. Mm. I can teach somebody a skill set. It's really hard for me to teach somebody character. So as you look through the fiduciary decisions, who manages your money? Who manages your healthcare decisions? Those can be different people. You may need someone who is much more compassionate for healthcare decisions, someone who is much more organized for financial decisions. But ultimately, in both of those, we need someone that you can truly trust. And they need to be honest. They need to have the character to sustain the role that you are putting them in. So there are some factors there that we really need to think through. And again, have we thought through them? That is really what I am pushing for in the listening audience, to say, I actually haven't thought about that. I just named my kid. They were the oldest. That's good enough for me. Until it's not good enough, because they're going to cause the problems in the family, or they're the ones who don't have the proper
people,
skill set.
People, though, who maybe who have no family, or certainly no children of their own. You hope that a family member can fulfill these roles, but maybe you have to hire somebody.
And again, the test is the same.
Yeah. So hopefully a relationship with somebody you've hired, an accountant, an attorney that you've worked with for a while, that you've seen some good qualities.
Yeah, that's right. It should really be the same litmus test, which is, do they have the character? Have you seen it in action?
You may
action?
Not know them as well as a family member, though.
That's true. Yeah, or you know, some family members I don't want to know as well. So there could be that. Anyway, yes, this topic is irrelevant of whether it's a person or a company, because some people do need to lean into companies, but it has to be the same litmus test.
Okay.
So there are some ideas we need to think about. What are the characteristics of a fiduciary.
Okay, well, let's move into maybe some of the more practical things like the time commitment that people can expect. How much of this sounds like quite a job. First of all, you have maybe,
boy, isn't it though?
Quite a character list, but then also time commitment.
Yeah, and so looking at the person's family, looking at their job, looking at whether they emotionally can handle a task as well as mentally. These are all things that would need to be considered as well. We do fulfill at the law firm some fiduciary responsibilities, and specifically some of the financial ones. We're trustees of clients that don't have a deep bench occasionally. And so I can tell you from experience, it is not a job that needs to be lightly considered. In the realm of how is it going to influence that person's life. So specifically, if you're going to name the same person with the finances and the health, now you're double dutying them. That really starts to stretch an individual thin pretty quickly. So what are their ages? Do they have the capacity in their own life to manage it? If you're naming 30-year-olds, they may be the right person, but can their lifestyle really manage it? Do they have small kids? Are they married? Is their marriage struggling? Will this cause a strain on their marriage? They're potentially working. What if they had to take a leave of absence from their job? Could they financially afford the interruption? So it's not just the character and the skill set, but you have to look at the person's life of whether or not it's actually the right person for them. So this is a big role. You're asking someone to step up to the plate, take their own time and energy to fill a gap and care for you, whether it's financially or in your health. Now, in both of those documents, in a trust, a financial power of attorney, in a will if you've passed away, in health care, there are always ways that we can assist people financially. They're allowed to charge for their fiduciary duty. Now, there's a reasonableness standard in the law. What's reasonable? I don't know. Neither do courts. In the world, we say just, hey, it has to be reasonable. So it also what to charge from their perspective, well, they can definitely be reimbursed for expenses, right? So if they have gas, if they've been mailing things, if they paid something on your behalf, we can always reimburse. And then what do we pay them for their time? Well, it depends on their skill set. Are they making $20 an hour at work and now they want $60 an hour to care for you? There might be a gap. Are they a CPA and they're charging $250 for their work and now they're wanting to charge you $60? Well, that could be very well reasonable if there's a skill set that a family member or friend or whoever you name is going to come in. Now, if you hire a professional company, they're just going to charge you your hourly rate. So if you hire a CPA and their rate is blank, that's what you're going to be paying. So that's easy. So people can be compensated, but we have to look at the person. We have to look at whether they're able to juggle their entire life around a financial or health issue. It may not be the right person. Most 30-year-olds have a very busy life and are raising families. What would it look like to interrupt their life to say, come and fulfill my needs at this time? What would the long-term effect be on the kids and on their marriage? And so it takes a very strong person in relationships and financially to be able to actually step into that role and help you. And this is also why we want to make sure that your documents are always up to date. If you have old documents, you're setting that person up for a tough road. Mm. You walk into a bank with a 10-year-old financial power of attorney, they're double looking at it. They're looking at it, sending it to their legal department, and it takes a long time to work through a bank system. And yet all the time the bills are starting to pile up and they have no authority. That is an emotional stress on top of already caring for someone that you love. So you got to have these documents up to date ready to go so that it is the easiest on the person that you're going to put in this lovely position called a fiduciary.
Is there an age requirement for this person? They have to be, what, at least 21?
Yeah, well, at least 18 by law. 18, that's okay. 18. But I would never put somebody in who's in their 20s. Are they mature enough? Are they mentally ready for this? Is their lifestyle ready? Are they emotionally ready? I'd have a hard time practically, even though you can legally do it, practically setting somebody in at such a young
age. Well, maybe somebody's put in at a young age and they didn't expect, but they died a lot sooner than they were planning. Yeah. And so.
Sometimes it is what it is. Yeah. It's who we have in our life. And that's where other professionals can then again step alongside if they're the right personality and have the right character. If they lean in to help, then really we can get them through it. But you got to have the right attorney. You got to have the right CPAs, right financial advisors. You got to have the right professionals. And if you don't have that to help the person, you're really putting them behind the eight ball.
Well, these shows have been about how to pick the right people to have in fiduciary roles in your trust or your estate planning, your will. Very important. So at least consider some of these issues. And yes. Maybe you've considered Paul as you've been listening. For some help from his company. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.